Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We welcome you aboard as once again we face the issues. You're listening to Dr. Youngblood, and this is Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Let me remind you, it is designed as a question and answer broadcast, live broadcast. You can call in. You don't have to identify yourself. You can call in and ask a question, join in the dialogue and discussion, and we welcome that dialogue that you would like to have with us on the issues. Today we're going to be talking about the final stages of the war on Christianity. The final stages of the war on Christianity. Before we get to that subject and my monologue on that, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, there's a need for truth today more than I believe in the history of our nation. The Scripture is not just a bit of truth or containing truth. It is the totality of truth. It is the beginning, the middle, and the ending of truth. And this is the reason Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the Word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you're tuned in today, I pray that you will do so with a prayerful heart, with an intention of learning, and with a desire to be salt and light that God's called us to be as Christians today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are, in fact, current modern-day witnesses of the final stage of this mega, major war, all-out engagement, frontal attack on Christianity and Christians today. Why do I say this? Let's just look at a few examples of the lack of morals and the ethics, the values, lack of values, and the constant assault on God, the constant assault on the church, the constant assault on Christianity and the family itself. This is a battle that's taking place, ladies and gentlemen, on multiple fronts. It's not just one source. It's not just one place. It's just not one venue or outlet. We're watching today the culmination and the coming together of this ultimate cataclysmic battle against God and against Christianity and against the family, I believe, as we've never witnessed before. It includes several areas, ladies and gentlemen. It includes the media. Media. Now, I could talk about just the media all day in relationship to its battle against God, its confrontation and assault on Christian and Christianity. An example that comes to mind is Joy Behar just a few months back, where she openly mocked and made fun of Vice President Pence because of his Christian faith. She called it insanity, where he talked about talking to God, or God talking to him. We find also not only just the media. By the way, the media has lost any credibility. The media has lost any sense of having an idea at all of presenting the news. It's simply become a war machine operative on behalf of the Socialist Party in America. The ones that call themselves the Democrats, someone said recently they're demon rats. I have to laugh at the same time and think they're probably right. We're talking about the multiple fronts of the attack that's taking place. The media, the politicians. The politicians have been bought and paid for on local, state, and national level by the lobbyists, lobbying for marijuana, lobbying for the LGBTQ, lobbying for the transgender organizations and groups, those that are have sex dysphoria, not knowing really what they are, or that's what they claim. The third area, ladies and gentlemen, that we're finding the attack on Christians and Christianity in the church is through the universities, the colleges and universities. They've simply become a bastion of ideological brainwashing that's destroying the minds and the hearts and the lives of the sons and daughters that we send to those institutions. Moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers, if you're listening, listen very carefully. If you have a son or a daughter or a grandchild, you need to make a decision that you'd rather have that child to stand before God in an honorable fashion, loving the Lord, loving His Word, being surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, than have any academic credentials the world has to offer. Our colleges and universities today have simply become bastions of brainwashing. You can take a child that loves the Lord, is in church, studies the Word, prays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, send him off to school, give him the first semester, second semester at the most, and all of a sudden he has cast off anything that's called any evidence of Christianity or surrender to the Lord, and he becomes smarter than mom and dad. And the idea is these professors no more, and therefore I'm going to cave in and surrender to their ideological, philosophical belief pattern. Not just the media and the politicians and the universities, but ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ agenda. And by the way, the LGBTQ agenda, that LGBTQ is now LGBTQI, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They keep adding to that because so far they've already determined there's approximately 100 different sexual genders in society. And they've just lost their ever-loving mind with what they're doing. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding the spawning of the development of hate toward the Christian. But we ought not to be overburdened with that thought, even though we need to be concerned and we need to do something, because the Scripture warns us, Jesus himself reminded us in John 15:18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me first. And then in 1 John 3:13, same is true there. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. They're very clear in the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, that we're not loved by the world, not going to be loved by the world, have not been loved by the world, but that hatred is growing. In fact, it's part of the Sodomite lifestyle. If you don't believe that, go to Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32 in particular. And it talks about God having given them over to a reprobate mind in the 28th verse as a result of the Sodomite lifestyle. The Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, are not honorable, are not right. And part of that is, in the 30th verse, they're backbiters, listen, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit these things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a summary statement in relationship to where we're going today. It is a matter that the Christian, the church, and the moral, ethical person is hated by the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the lost liberal denominations today, in many of our mainline denominations, have surrendered the Word of God to embrace the Sodomite lifestyle on the premise that we need to love everybody. Therefore, we need to embrace their sin and allow the Sodomites to be ordained as ministers of the gospel, to be deacons and Sunday school teachers, and now to allow them to come in and be a part of the church. Certainly, they're not the part of the bride of body of Christ. They may be part of an organization called the church, but not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, so perhaps you say, What's the evidence of this war on Christianity? What is the evidence that you are claiming to have that shows that there's a war against God, that there's a war against the family? Ladies and gentlemen, the war against the family, the war against Jesus, the war against God and the church and Christians is absolutely out in the world, and it's proliferating. Ladies and gentlemen, the murder by way of abortion in New York, and now the new bill, a bill is now being introduced, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Virginia, in the House, a House bill that would kill a baby up to, quote, the very moment of delivery. This is simply unheard of in any ethical society, any modern society. It's unheard of in any societal norm in all of history. This is good evidence that Planned Parenthood is now absolutely in control of the political process. But ladies and gentlemen, do you realize in New York, the state of New York, it's illegal, it is wrong, it is not acceptable to give a lethal injection to a murderer that's on death row, but now you can give that lethal injection to an unborn baby? Here's an article that states that. The state of New York prohibits the death penalty, but now allows abortion of unborn babies up until the day of their birth. That makes it so that while convicted murderers can't receive a lethal injection, unborn babies can. And then the article goes into detail, ladies and gentlemen, the gruesome detail of how an abortion takes place and the murder of that baby, even as it is being delivered. I don't know of anything that's any more barbaric. I don't know of anything that points any better and more clear of the assault on the family, and especially on the Christian family and those that are moral, ethical people. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, our political correctism is in full control of the academic setting also. The colleges and universities now are worthless in relationship to what they're teaching or doing. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is not an unusual thing to find the LGBTQ agenda and the transgender dysphoria to permeate our colleges and universities today. Here's an article that says, university hosts an LGBT, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the university hosts an LGBTQ Discovery Day camp for the young teens, dated January 23rd, 2019. The program encourages high school students to explore the LGBTQ identities. The article reads, University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee hosts an annual Pride Discovery Camp, a summer program put on for teenagers by the school's LGBTQ Resource Center. Ladies and gentlemen, when does it become rational to have what is called an LGBTQ Resource Center in a public school system? That's bad enough. But according to the event's webpage for the school, the camp is designated to inspire LGBTQ high school students to embrace their multiple identities and gain a better understanding of marginalized identities through community building, activism, self-expression, and connections in the LGBTQ communities. Through various activities, the program seeks to discuss ways in which queer or ally leaders can work together collectively to build a sense of belonging and acceptance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. That's an attack on Christianity. Many of these same schools, ladies and gentlemen, will not allow a Bible club or a prayer club to be in the school. You can't say Jesus publicly. You can't pray publicly, but you can have an LGBTQ resource center, and you can offer 5 days in a camp with the sodomites in control that you would send your sons or daughters to go off and encamp with them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem in society, and that problem is that we've lost our mind socially, morally, ethically, biblically, spiritually, and philosophically in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is happening in America with the war, the final stages of the war on Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, may I simply say this? The transsexual, homosexual, LGBTQ gender identity agenda is in full control of the academic classrooms in America today. There's no question that this is taking place. Here's an article that says, a professor is being forced to use female pronouns for a male student. Now, you might sound, well, that's a little odd or unusual, but this is an article. when Shawnee State University professor Dr. Nicholas Merriweather responded to a male student's question with, "Yes, sir," he didn't think anything of it. Dr. Merriweather has long referred to his students as sir or madam, or by the title Mr. or Miss, for example, followed by their last name. He does this to create an environment of seriousness and mutual respect in the classroom, but this time was different. This time, the student approached Dr. Merriweather after class, informed him that he identified as a transgender, and demanded that Dr. Merriweather refer to him as a woman with the feminine title and pronouns. When Dr. Merriweather, a Christian, did not agree, the student became aggressive, circling him and getting in his face and even threatening to get Dr. Merriweather fired. Well, the student then filed a formal complaint with the university, which launched a formal investigation into the professor. Further, the article says Dr. Merriweather, as a Christian, believes that God creates every person, male or female. God does not make a mistake. To call a man a woman or vice versa would violate his conscience. So Dr. Merriweather offered a compromise. He would refer to this particular student by his first name or his last name only in an effort to accommodate the student. This was perfectly reasonable compromise that respects the freedom of everyone involved, but it was not good enough for the student of the university or the university. They formally charged Dr. Merriweather, claiming he created a hostile environment for the student, and they told Dr. Merriweather that he must refer to the student with the pronouns or of their self-asserted gender identity. Otherwise, Dr. Merriweather would be in violation of the university's non-discrimination policy. University officials are trying to force Dr. Merriweather to embrace and to communicate their ideological norms, even if that means violating his Christian faith and his stand on the Word of God and his Christian beliefs. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. We're talking about today the final stages of the war on Christianity. We're witnessing that at every avenue, in every venue, in every point and place in the society in which we're living today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this is only one example out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds across America in our universities and colleges where they've become so politically correct that it's almost intolerable, and in some cases it's almost inexplicable to be able to define it and to discuss it on a normalized level. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christians are now being forced in American academics and forced in the American political scene to bow down to the immoral, ungodly LGBTQ standards or be forced to resign their position. Yes, we're all witnessing the final net result of the war against Christianity. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, as the net is being drawn. Listen very carefully. This didn't happen overnight. This didn't happen in a corner. This didn't happen in a secret. This did not happen in a closet. This has been taking place since the early 70s with the sodomite lifestyle and the movement, and now morphed into gender identity and the transgender and the gender dysphoric whole mindset today, when across America we have less than 2% of those that fall into that category, according to the Pew Research Group and according to the Center for Disease Control and their surveys. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, they're now controlling the communication. They're controlling the political agenda. They're controlling the moral ethics and values in America today. That's how forceful and how powerful they are with their drawing their net. The little incremental laws they've had passed, the little incremental bills that they've had passed, the little incremental rules and regulations they've had passed on a local, state, and national level, and now it is being drawn full force where the LGBTQ standard is being forced upon those in the academic institutions, and it is the attack that is ultimately going to try to tear down the walls of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the demonic, satanic forces drawing the net. We are all literally, I believe, watching what is taking place, and many feel somehow, some way, we can't do anything about it. We've all watched, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Chick-fil-A stores across America, how they've been boycotted and demonstrated against just because of their stand for biblical faith and truth. The LGBTQ machine is operating with a political cover, and it's the deep-pocketed, deep-funded by the mega millions of dollars that is attacking Christianity today, with the goal of closing the doors of any and all Christian businesses simply because the goal of destroying the Christian and destroying the Christian faith because of the hatred for God. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question and the comment, please.
Yes, good day, Pastor Youngblood.
Good day. Oh, how are you?
Yes, I'm here. It's the condition is really, really getting out of hand badly, because I was listening to Michael Eustace, and he's about Islam, the third jihad, that is organizing itself and getting ready for the third jihad. Yes, they said they are the two first ones in the 6th century and the 14th century, and those failed. And they're coming up with the third one. And the method they're using seem to be now is like to infiltrate the government. They're going to use the killing, because, you know, it's a culture of death. There's no point about, they have no problem with killing. But they're getting themselves into governments first. So we are surrounded not only with the Islam, and that what there is the communists. It's stirring up the don't believe in any God, rising up around it, and animosity coming up. But what is happening, as I see it, is that the believers, the church, while we decide to keep to be in hiding and to keep silent because of fear, afraid to speak up, apart from a few voices like yourself and the God bless the couple of the others who are speaking up. The what is now speaking up is what we would need. I would say it's like the fake church, the fake evangelism.
That's right.
They're now speaking up. So it's really in a bad state. While genuine Christians decide to go on preaching the word and to behave as if they don't see that what is happening and they're not conscious of what's going on. The fake evangelism now, and that is playing havoc, because they're speaking now as evangelicals, and they are on the side of the enemy of the cross, enemy of Jesus Christ. The same way, they have the condition is, as you said, the institutions start working early on the young children, in schools, high school right up to college, working on their minds and preparing them. So they have it that socialism is wonderful and is the best way to go. They are well indoctrinated. So, yeah.
Well, as you're saying, they're indoctrinating them in our schools with Islam. They're indoctrinating our kids in our schools with the socialistic agenda. They're indoctrinating our students in the schools and the universities with the LGBTQ. And altogether, it's destroying the morals and ethics and the values. And all of it together is simply the war against God and the war against Christianity.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So while we decide to keep silent and be in hiding, afraid to talk, what we're afraid of is coming on us very fast. But it is around in other places. We know we are the enemies. Christians will be the main enemy. It has been coming up. It didn't just start yesterday. That we are I remember hearing that liberals are saying that we are the greatest enemy of America. The greatest enemy of America is not the terrorists, not the terrorists.
That's
but
right.
His Bible believing Christians.
That's what they're saying. And one of the things we need to do, and I am so thankful for your call, one of the things that we need to do is keep on being salt and light and taking a stand. And as you said, come out of the closet and stop being silent. But thank you so much for joining us with the dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, when it comes to the boycott that took place, you know, started several years ago with Chick-fil-A, someone said it was the most unsuccessful boycott in history, because Chick-fil-A is now topping the list of all of the restaurants across America. But in 2012, when that boycott started, what do you think caused the wildfire? What happened that was the outrage that brought about it? Let me just read you the statement that was given by Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, that brought about the outrage. This is bringing to the very point and centrality of my conversation today about how the Christians are being hated, and I believe it's the final stages of the war on Christianity. Here's the statement that Dan Cathy made. He said, and I quote, "I think we're inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at God and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes marriage." He says, "I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude to think that we have the audacity to define what marriage is about." quote, further quote, we are very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family. We're a family-owned business, a family-led business, and we're married to our first wives. We give God thanks for what God has done. We want to do anything possible that we can to strengthen families. We're very much committed to that. We know that it might not be popular with everyone, but thank the Lord we live in a country where we can have our shared values in the Bible. And he goes further. And as a result of that, across the nation, all of a sudden there was a hatred for Chick-fil-A. The random acts of violence that have taken place. Let me just share this with you. The random acts of violence that's taken place by the LGBTQ activists at Chick-fil-A restaurants have been a problem ever since, with the most recent publicly reported case occurring October of last year in Maryland, the location where they painted on the buildings, homophobic scum, blood is on your hands, written in black permanent markers on the buildings and the brick walls. In addition to the vandalism, the gay activists organized massive protests against the across the country, bringing crowds to Chick-fil-A restaurants. The so-called protests, Kiss-In and Kiss Days, where gay couples engaged to encourage to go to the restaurants and perform public displays of affection in front of the families dining in the restaurants. College campuses with Chick-fil-A locations are protested regularly by students who want the restaurants to be removed from the college campuses, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble in America when we, for the most part, Christians are not recognizing, ladies and gentlemen, what's really happening in these final stages of the war on Christianity. And that's literally what is taking place, the war on Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Texas transgender bill to ban Christianity in Texas. I don't know if you ever thought of the possibility of the political process banning Christianity, but by way, virtue of the laws that are being passed, that's literally what is taking place. This article says a showdown between religious freedom and transgender privileges is underway in Texas, where six pro-life LGBTQ bills are taking place at one time, targeting the constitutional rights of all Christians. This article further says while LGBTQ activists across the Lone Star State are confident that the upcoming bills will enhance the so-called gay rights of Texans, many conservative pastors in the state are fearful that the proposed laws that would add gender identity and sexual orientation to the Texas discrimination laws will diminish the rights of Christians to express their faith. And it goes further to say that in this article. Ladies and gentlemen, I am frightened, literally, based on what I see happening in America. I understand the end time is upon us. I understand we're living in the last days. I understand in the last days, the scripture says, perilous times will come. And that means dark, difficult, dangerous, devastating, deceitful times. And those are the days we're living in. But ladies and gentlemen, here this article further says, the mad dash by some Democrat House and Senate members to push the false narrative that sexual behavior is the same as skin color and the same as mental illness deserves the same honored status as religious belief is ominous evidence that they're trying to criminalize the Christian faith, and common sense sees it on the horizon. Ladies and gentlemen, they want to ban Christianity, and they're trying to do that by legislative action across America, and especially in these five bills that are being promoted at one time in the state of Texas. Across America, the new laws and the new bills are designed to destroy the church, the Christian businessmen, and may I say, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming like a floodgate across our nation. Conservatives and Christians are hated, despised, and rejected. Perhaps most verbal in New York City, where the governor, Andrew Cuomo, says that if you're a pro-lifer, you need to leave the state of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, that's being taken up by state after state after state. This is, let me read you a little blurb from that article. This article here says, the extreme conservatives who are right to the left, pro-assault weapons and anti-gay, it is they who are causing the problem, because if they who have, they are who they are, they're extreme conservatives, they have no place in the state of New York, because that's not who we are as New Yorkers. And I'm quoting Andrew Cuomo, the governor of the state of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious trouble when a principal tells the teacher, you can't be in church if your students are there. And this is an article that is dateline January the 26th of this year in Midwest school, where a principal says to the teacher, you can't go to church. because there may be a student there, and you cannot interact with your student on a religious, spiritual, Christian level. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble, and the key to that is we need to look up, lift up our heads, and realize that our redemption draweth nigh. And as a result of that, we need to be salt and light. Come out of the closet, ladies and gentlemen, and take a stand for moral, ethical values based on the Word of God, and be the Christian that God would have us to be as a watchman on the wall. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.